actually speechless, to be honest. I'd probably say that's probably the best knock under that pressure. But I think the lads have just been phenomenal. Every time, a wicket came out, just keep going. It shows the belief within the side. And to come out with a win is absolutely fantastic. And hopefully we can build on that.
I have to start at the end, the six, because that was high pressure then. Three balls, six runs required. A huge boundary, probably as big a boundary as you can imagine at Somerset. Everybody set back and Allenby swinging the ball into you. So the only place you could go for the boundary was over the top.
Yeah, I think Frankie sort of summed it up. He was like, what was your thought process? And I was like, well, it was just hitting for six. I kind of expected it from the first ball. He was going to throw it down the leg side. Just kind of shimmied down and just thought, oh, I'll just kind of give him, stay in line. And thankfully I got, followed the ball up and came out the screws, and I actually thought he was going for one bounce four, and it just kept going. It was just a pure elation. Fantastic chase, and full credit to the boys.
Because you got the six onto the roof of the Colin Atkinson Pavilion as well, so that would have been an option to go straight, I guess, down the ground to him, because that ball was coming into your pads. You'd obviously tried a couple of times to go down the pitch to him, but the swing he was getting, I guess, was pretty tough to hit back down the ground off.
Yeah, it was. He swung the ball consistently and late. He was always going to go into my pads with that long boundary. So it was just a case for me just trying to work out where I could get that boundary, or at least get two to try and get myself back on strike. But thankfully I managed to middle it, and it was pure elation.
And where it went to off the middle as well was incredible, because it went to deep backward square leg, didn't it? And quite a fine deep backward square leg as well.
Yeah, it did. It was just for me to just almost follow the swing a little bit, and thankfully I managed to get enough of it to get it over the boundary, and what a win.
What was the chat at the beginning of the innings for Middlesex in the dressing room? 46 overs, 302. Obviously got off to a belter with Nick Gubbins, David Milan promoted to three, and went at it from the first ball. So they laid an incredible foundation, but there was a period of consolidation in the middle. What was the overall chat right at the beginning of the innings, though?
I think we were sort of total belief that we could actually chase it down. The deeper we kind of took it, the more it gave us the opportunity to catch up at the back end. So when we got the start with Robbo and Gubbo, which was excellent, and then Davy came in and played another crucial knock, it was a case of just carrying on that momentum. And then obviously they got a couple of quick wickets. The belief from Somerset kind of went through the roof a little bit, so it was a case of just kind of soaking that pressure up for me. Me and Frankie just sort of spoke about soaking the pressure up and building a bit of a partnership, and taking it as deep as we can, almost sort of 120 off 10, even to the extent I think we needed 110 off 11, which was still possible. And then James Fuller came in and played, a very handy knock to almost kickstart me into the gear. And, he was just like, keep going, having that urge to try and hit boundaries, get your singles, we'll run hard. And then just from there on in, it was just, I was fortunate to strike a few in the middle, and thankfully we got over the line.
Was the main thought process of the consolidation periods, because anybody who looks at the 79 off 80 and didn't see the innings, they might not realise the number of dot balls when you say you soaked up the pressure, was the main feeling that if you kept going at that point, it would leave too long for Somerset then to win the match if you'd lost more wickets then, so the decision was to consolidate and go again at the end?
Yeah, absolutely. That was very much the thought process. Tim Groenewold bowled beautifully. He was getting the ball to swing, and same with James Allenby, he was, swinging the ball. So it was just a case for us to soak a bit of pressure up, almost take the game, try and take the game away from Somerset so they couldn't potentially win, because, I suppose naturally you lose two or three wickets and then it gives them 10 overs, to get three wickets potentially. And then we're under the cosh for 10 overs, which... from having dictated three out of the 4 days, pretty much, would have been quite disappointing. So for me, we're just trying to build a partnership with Frankie, and then obviously once he sort of got out and Foz came in, it was a case for me just to give him the strike for a little bit, see if he can kind of get a bit of momentum. And once he started getting a bit of momentum, it kind of gave me that belief that we can actually do something quite special here. And All he kept saying to me was just keep trying to hit it long, and you know, and like I said, thankfully I managed to find the middle.
You got one into the river as well, didn't you? But was that up there with your performances with the gloves as well? Just a couple of final thoughts from me. That the pitch obviously on the first day was changed an hour before the start.
Yeah.
So keeping on that was incredibly difficult. I think you had 9 chances and held all 9 of them.
Yeah, it kind of threw us a bit of a curveball, having the change of wicket early on. But you know, I thought our bowlers bowled fantastically well. You know, Harry Podmore to step into the shoes of, you know, Murta and Finn and Roland Jones and to perform the way he did on his championship debut, I think was fantastic, and full credit to him. You know, he's come in there and he's done an excellent job. You know, for a 21-year-old to come in and you know, I think after 4 first-class matches to, you know, perform like that, I think, you know, it's full credit to him. But yeah, you know, it was nice that they found the edge, and for me, it was, you know, to try and, it's always nice to keep on wickets that do a bit. You know, you always feel like you're in the game, I suppose, when there's nothing really going on and that chance comes, it's then, you know, they're very sparse, aren't they? So, you know, I guess, you know, the complete performance from my perspective, you know, to 9 catches and, you know, to win the game like we did was, you know, I guess as good as it gets.
Just the final thought, Middlesex moved to the top of the table. When you arrived at Middlesex, it was a scrap at the bottom of Division 2. As a young man, you managed to win the gloves. You went up and opened for a little while, if I seem to remember correctly, in the Championship. It's been quite a journey under Angus Fraser. Middlesex, initially, his mantra was, right, if Middlesex are going to lose, they're going to lose deep into the fourth day, not early on the third. That's become tough to beat. It's now tough to shake off, it seems, for Middlesex. This game, the match at Scarborough, it seems like Middlesex have taken a step on again this year. And is this, you know, do you think the journey's very nearly complete for Middlesex in turning into eventual champions?
Yeah, you know, when I first started, it was, you know, very much, you know, we were sort of bottom of Division 2, a few bits and pieces going on behind the scenes. And I guess for me, it was just coming in there, giving it, you know, a fresh breath of life, you know, from being released at Lancashire to, you know, joining the Young Cricketers and then given the opportunity for Middlesex. You know, I was, you know, got the privilege. So, you know, to for the journey where we are now and under Gus, you know, we've come a hell of a long way. We were losing games. We were scrapping. There was nothing, you know, good we could really sort of come out of it. And the way Gus has come in, and I guess, you know, even Richard Scott, you know, Richard Johnson, you know, they've come in and they've instilled that belief. We've worked harder in the winter. You know, we've put ourselves under some serious pressure. And I guess that proves, you know, when you go out there in the middle, you know, we've become hard to beat. And that's been one of our mantras, that we're hard to beat home and away. If we don't win, we draw the game, we don't lose. And, you know, any opportunity we get to win the game, we give it a full crack. And, you know, it was good to speak to Gus on the phone. You know, he spoke to us all out there and so we got bigger balls than he has, you know, and, you know, which is nice. But, you know, what a performance. You know, it just gives us that belief that, you know, hopefully, you know, with 6 games to go, puts us in a great position. But, you know, there's still some good teams, you know, we've still to play. And I think that's, you know, for us, that's, you know, the big challenge. You know, we've got 6 games left and, you know, we've also got the one-day competition and we're still pretty much in the middle of 2020, you know, so to be competing in July, where I guess in previous years we were already out of 2 competitions, you know, is a great testament to the players and the coaching staff and everyone, you know, around Middlesex.